to speak concerning the Word of God. We have read from Nehemiah chapter 8, and we have read through the first 12 verses. I direct your attention back to that again. I will apologize for all the paraphernalia up here. We set up the screen and the projector, and Brother Ram wanted to see how I use the PowerPoint. And I use it for most of the sermons that I preach. And we came in early this morning and we came over yesterday and looked at it and said, boy, this looks good. And we came in this morning, I didn't look at the wires and connectors on that projector. And we tried to set it up this morning and I thought, uh-oh. My computer is a little newer than that projector and the just different style of connections. And we can't do anything about that right now. We'll work on it between now and tomorrow perhaps and see if we can't come up with some other kind of solution. But I was going to project these verses up there and highlight some words for you. I'm going to have to just trust you to look at your book and pay attention to the words yourself. But I want you to notice in verse number 3 of Nehemiah chapter 8 that all those who could understand listened with understanding, verse number 2, as the preacher caused them to understand, verse number 8. And down in verse 12, you see that the result was that they understood. You know what? You can understand the Bible.
That's right.
Believe it. Please don't let anybody ever tell you that you can't. It's wrong to refrain from Bible study on the grounds that the Bible cannot be understood. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the 13th verse tells us, as Solomon concludes his search in the world for meaning of life, says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The world didn't have the answers that he was seeking. You know, the Roman Catholic Church says that common people cannot understand the book, and therefore they need the church, that is, the Pope, the cardinals, the priests, the nuns, etc., to help explain it to them. And if you ever picked up a Catholic Bible, you know that there are many footnotes and marginal notes in that thing. And very often those notes will, you know, you'll see, be reading the text and there'll be a little star or something. You go down here and look and that doesn't really mean what it says. It means so and so and such and such. And that's really sad that they confuse people like that. One statement even said, much religious confusion has resulted in the world because man has tried to read the Bible independently. Wow. Can you believe that? Religious confusion. You know, there's a lot of religious confusion in the world. But it isn't because the Catholics forgot to explain it to the people. It's because people had too much help trying to understand the Bible.
Amen.
You can understand that thing all by yourself. There are many people in man-made churches who say, well, it's impossible that we could all understand the Bible alike. You know, if it's impossible that we could understand the Bible alike, then what about Ecclesiastes 12:13? Fear God and keep His commandments. Don't you have to say which? Or how? Or, well, just what do those commandments mean? And you know what some folks are going to tell you? Well, it might mean one thing to you, it means something else to me. Can you believe such a thing as that? Did you ever write a letter? Did you ever write a theme for a school assignment? Did you ever sit down and try to write a religious tract? Did you intend for your words to mean one thing to one person and something else to somebody else? Did you think when you wrote that theme in school it meant this to you and you hoped it would mean something different to the teacher? We don't write like that. Nobody writes like that.
Right.
God didn't write like that. You can understand the Bible. You know what? If you understand the Bible and I understand the Bible, then we understand it alike. There's no possibility of different understandings. If you see something in that verse that I don't see, then maybe my eyes aren't open. Or maybe yours are open too wide. You know? Because whatever's in there is in there for both of us. And we're going to have to understand it the way God gave it to us. Recently, there's been a growing doctrine amongst churches of Christ to say, well, you can only understand the Bible if the Holy Spirit acts on you in some way to help you understand it. Brethren, that is one of the biggest lies the devil ever put in this world. You don't need help from heaven or hell or the world in between to understand the Bible. Oh, you might need some help learning languages and how to read and what figures of speech means and the difference between an adjective and an adverb, but you learn all of those when you're 10 and 12 years old. Just apply the simple common sense that you use to read anything else and you can understand the Bible. Yeah, even the King James Version, if that's what you're using. It's just not that difficult. You think it is because you've let somebody confuse you and make you believe that it is. Let me illustrate it this way. How many of you in here are airplane pilots? That's what I was hoping. Nobody. How many of you have ever seen a picture or maybe looked into the cockpit of an airplane? A couple of you. You ever see all those dials and gauges and switches and buttons and you say, my, how could anybody ever figure all that out? But you know what? They can. I've flown several airplanes and I can look at an airplane cockpit right now and tell you what everything in there means. It just takes time, right? It takes education. It just takes some experience and some patience, some practice, and you can get there. Well, why should we bother to study the Bible in the first place? Isn't the Bible outmoded and irrelevant today? Oh, there's never been anything more relevant. The Bible has got all of the answers to today's news. It's practical. It answers issues that are as current as this morning's CNN programs, you know, or this morning's newspaper. It is inspired. It is from God.
That's right.
The creator of this universe and the creator of your body and soul. The maker knows what you need to understand. The Bible is an operator's manual for human life. When you bought a car, it came with an operator's manual. Well, these days it's either online or on a CD or something, but it's got one. You bought a refrigerator, a TV set, you bought a lawnmower. You probably bought a set of dishes or cookware that came with some kind of instruction sheet that told you how to take care of it. Just so, the human life. Can you imagine the creator of life wouldn't explain to us how to live in this world? Driving around Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I used to stay, used to be a lot of billboards around. And it was billboards that were put up there by some, I don't know, child care agency, probably some government program or something that offered social services to families. And it'd be a picture of a small baby in swaddling clothes, or it'd be a picture of a little toddler playing on the ground with his toys. And the caption underneath always said, if only they came with a book of instructions. You know, I never was so tempted in my life to stop the car and climb up on a billboard and do a little graffiti up there, you know, and said, they do, you know. It's called the Bible.
That's right.
They do come with instructions. So did you. God wants you to understand. And the Bible is true on every subject it addresses. Now, it's not a geography book, but if it tells you that a city's in a certain location, you can count on that city is there. If it says the border between two countries was here, you can count on it. That border was there.
Amen.
If it says the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, you know it. That's true. Whatever the Bible speaks on, it speaks the truth. And you can understand it, and you need to be reading it. Let's look at some passages of Scripture. Do you have any idea how many times the Bible tells you that you can understand it? Let's look at a few verses of Scripture. Let's turn to the 119th Psalm. It's just about in the middle of your Bible. Now, you may know that Psalm 119 is all about the Bible. What it is, where it came from, how to use it, how to teach it, how to understand it, how to praise God by it. In Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's got 176 verses in it. If you'll turn over to the 99th verse, Psalm 119, verse number 99. What does it say? I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I spend time thinking about the Word of God. Therefore, I understand more than what my teachers do. You know, and that's true, especially if your teachers are not Christians. Or if your teachers call themselves Christians but don't spend a lot of time reading the Bible, thinking about the Bible. More time you spend reading it and thinking about it, the more you're going to understand. And you're going to understand more than somebody else. Look at the next verse. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. You know, it is true. It's just a fact of life. You can read something in a book and you think you've got it figured out and you go try to do it. Take that airplane, for example. I can read all about airplanes. I can watch DVDs. I can listen to pilots. And then you go get into an airplane and you try to crank that thing up and take off, and suddenly it's a fishtailing like this, or it's a hopping down the runway, and it isn't as easy to do it as it is to read about it and think you understand it. But you know what? A few times flying that airplane and you can take off just as smoothly as anybody else. A little bit of practice, a little bit of time, and you can do anything better than somebody who's never tried it, or better than you did before. I understand more than the ancients. I understand more than the old folks do. I understand more than my ancestors. Why? Because I keep your precepts. I'm practicing. I'm doing what I'm reading. And the more I do, the more I understand it. Did you see the church bulletin this morning? Wasn't that where I was just looking at? A tract I was reading someplace. I picked up something here this morning I was reading. It basically said the same kind of thing. The more I do, I was looking in the songbook. There's a song I was looking at, flipping through a while ago. The more I, you know, the more I read about Him, the more I love Him. And the more I keep His Word, the more I love Him. And the more I love Him, the more He blesses me. I forgot what song that is. 980, for now, wasn't I? Somewhere in the 970s or 980s, I was flipping through there a while ago. Beautiful, beautiful song. I've never seen that song. I've never sung that song, but it's one I want to learn. Well, we're in the book of Psalms. Turn over to the book of Proverbs and look at the very first chapter of the book of Proverbs. You ever read the book of Proverbs? It's not a book you sit down and read cover to cover, is it? It's not a continuous story. All the first few chapters are, but most of the book is just, you know, one verse at a time and stop and think about it some. But look at the first verses of this book. In chapter number 1, look at verse number 6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. That's why the book of Proverbs was written, so that you could understand. You read the book of Proverbs and it will help you to understand what? Oh, several things. Understand Proverbs. Understand the interpretation of Proverbs. Understand the words of wise people. You ever hear anybody say, oh, he's so wise? He just speaks way over everybody's head. You can understand the wise. Just read the book of Proverbs. Now, not just once probably, but again and again. And understand their dark sayings. That's mysterious sayings. That's figurative language. That's things that may not really, the message isn't really what appears to be on the surface. You might have to look at it as a figurative expression, you know, or it has some other application that isn't obvious at first. It's a dark saying, but you can understand it nevertheless if you continue to read and study the Word of God. Look over in the second chapter of Proverbs. God promises that the reader who wants to understand and who works at understanding shall understand. See it this way in these first 9 verses. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you believe God? That's going to be one of our lessons later this week. Do you believe God? God just said it. If you want to, and if you try, you will understand
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Now, God's either telling the truth or He's telling a lie. If He's telling a lie, let's just burn these books and go out into the... Well, I don't know if we go out to the water today. It might be a little choppy, but we'll go find something else to do today. We don't need to be here if God's telling a lie. We don't believe that. Not one in here believes God's telling a lie. We believe God tells us the truth. He just told you, you can understand it if you want to and if you try. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Out of His mouth comes understanding. Listen to His words. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Is the Bible an operator's manual for life? Read the book, hear the word of God, you're going to understand every right way that you ought to be walking in.
Amen.
Operator's manual for that, you know, lawnmower that you bought says don't use it this way. Operator's manual for that radio you bought says what? Don't use it in the bathtub. They always got to say that on electrical appliances these days. I guess some idiot did somewhere along the line. On the toaster it says don't use it in the bathtub. Now who makes toast in a bathtub? You know, electrical appliances are going to tell you this is the way you use it, not like that. And that's exactly what the Bible does.
Amen.
That's what we have it for. That's why God gave it to us. Let's go over to the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. All of that you have right here in your hands when you hold the Bible.
Amen.
Open it up and read it, and God will eventually, with time and effort, maybe with some help, we'll see in a moment, give you the understanding. Let's look over a little bit further, a couple chapters, a couple pages over, to the prophecy of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, I want to turn to chapter number 6. Just a couple of verses. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse number 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Now God's not saying there's folks out there I don't want to save. He's saying there are folks who will not be saved because they simply will not open their eyes. This is the prophecy that was remembered by Jesus, also by Luke and by the Apostle Paul, that many people will not believe because they will not try to understand it. It wasn't just too awfully far from here that I had a man tell me one time. I asked his mama and his uncle and all of his family, his sister, and all of them was members of the church. He was in his mid to upper 20s. Raising a family right across the street from the church building. And I asked him, why have you never obeyed the gospel? Why are you not a part of the church? You won't believe what the man told me. He says, because I'm ignorant and I want to stay that way. Now, can you believe that? That's exactly why some folks are lost. They just don't want to learn the truth. I had a member of the church tell me one time, that's enough, Al. I don't want to hear anymore. I said, that's the problem. That's why you are the way you are. And that's why we're having this conversation. Because you just don't want to hear it. Well, God spoke before you did, brother, and He told me to come tell you.
Amen.
Now, He didn't speak to me in a dream or in a voice, but He spoke to me in the book, and He told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you're a creature of God, and I need to speak it to you whether you want to hear it or you don't. He didn't, and we parted company. And I don't know whatever became of him, but I've never turned away from the Word of God, and I don't ever intend to. Go to Isaiah, if you will, chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. And the last verse is number 24. Isaiah 29, 24. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. That's two different ways of saying the same thing. It's a Hebrew literature characteristic called the poetic parallelism. Error is erased by understanding. Murmuring, mumbling nonsense against the Word of God, is eliminated by doctrine. Even the ignorant can understand if they seek understanding. Even those who oppose God can understand if they seek God's understanding. Look again at the promise to the prophet Daniel. Chapter 9 of Daniel. You remember Daniel was given a vision. And he was thinking about the vision and he was praying about the vision. And what does all of this mean? And while he was thinking about the vision, an angel appeared to him, Gabriel. In chapter 9 of Daniel, I want to look at verse number 23. The angel Daniel said, "At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." God gave Daniel a vision. And Daniel was praying about it. What does this mean? Sometimes when we have trouble understanding the Bible, that's the first thing to do, isn't it?
Amen.
Start praying about it.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot said in the Bible about thinking and praying and meditating. Paul instructs the preacher Timothy to meditate on these things. Now, he's not talking about going up on some mountaintop and sitting cross-legged with a robe around your neck, you know, like we usually think of. We see that word meditation. Those of us that came through the 1960s and 70s used to see that picture a lot. He just means think about it. Roll it over in your mind a time or two. Continually, actually. And it'll come to you. Just keep on reading, keep on thinking. But while Daniel was thinking about it, praying about it, the angel came so you can understand. God wants you to understand this thing, Daniel. Now, we're not here to talk about that vision. That's a great lesson we can look at another time. We just want to notice today that God says you can understand the Bible. I don't care who you are.
Amen.
If you can read anything you got in your house, you can understand the Bible. It really isn't that difficult. Oh, there are things in it that I don't understand. There are things in it that take time. There are things that take a lot of experience. But the basic meaning of the Word of God, the meaning of life, who God is, who you are, why you're here, where you're going, you can understand that tonight before you go to bed. It's just not that hard at all. Let's look at the New Testament. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. And let's begin in chapter number 15. Matthew chapter 15. When you found the 15th chapter of Matthew, we're going to turn down to, well, let's start with verse number 10. Jesus called the multitude and he said to them, "Hear and understand." He wasn't just talking to one smart, educated person. He called a multitude of people together. He said, "Hear what I'm saying and understand what I'm about to tell you." Jesus wanted people to understand. And you know what? Jesus is no fool. He's not going to tell people to do something they're incapable of doing.
That's right.
Jesus knows what's in the heart of every man. And he knew that that multitude had the ability to understand what he was saying. Did Jesus ever say some things that we still scratch our heads over? Oh yeah. A few things. There's some things that we look at and say, what did he really mean by that? But most of it's not that way. Now, there are some people who look at the simple things and say, "I wonder what he meant by that, you know." Matthew chapter 19 is one classic example. I wonder what he meant by a divorce and fornication and adultery and marriage. And I'm just not too sure. But listen, you're not sure about that because you don't want to be sure about that. Let's just be honest about it. Most of what Jesus said is just not hard to understand. Just look at the words on the page. It's all there. But Jesus said you can. And we've already seen that Solomon said, if you want to, and if you try to. Let's look at the next chapter, the 16th chapter and verse number 11. "How is it that you don't understand that I was speaking to you not concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Jesus had just fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000. He and the apostles were in a boat going across the sea. And Jesus said to him, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Leaven, that's what you make bread with. We forgot to bring bread. Oh, he's getting on to us. We forgot to bring bread. And they're mumbling amongst themselves, we're in trouble now. And the master knows. We didn't bring anything to eat. Here with Jesus, he just took a little bit of this and a little bit of that and fed 5,000 people, you know. Why are you worried about bringing a loaf of bread? He said, listen, I'm not talking about bread that you eat. How is it that you don't understand? Jesus expected his followers to understand his words.
Yes.
What does that say to you? It says if you don't understand, you need to give it some more attention. You need to pay more attention to what Jesus has said. Go back and read it some more. You know, sometimes reading more is a key and it helps. Look at chapter 24 of Matthew. You know that's the chapter in which he talks about the destruction of Jerusalem in the beginning, and then he talks about the second coming of Christ and destruction of the whole world at the end. In that first part, in verse number 15, and this is... this is just one of those verses that amazes me how people will corrupt and pervert the Word of God. It's just so simple. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And people have made all kinds of crazy doctrines out of that verse and out of Daniel's prophecy. He said, go back and read Daniel. He expected us to know what was in the book, right? Jesus expects us to know what was in the book. On one occasion, David sent his soldiers out to the battle. And they got too close to the wall. Some soldiers were killed. And David said, don't you remember what happened in the case of Saul? Okay, in the case of Abimelech, way back in the days of the judges? How he got close to the wall and a woman threw a millstone out and broke his skull and killed him? God expects us to remember history, to know His Word, to learn lessons from it. Paul tells us in the New Testament that the Old Testament was written for our learning.
Yes.
And for our admonition. We're supposed to know and remember and understand these lessons. But here in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, when you read, understand. So you can understand what Jesus is saying and you can understand what Daniel prophesied and the application of that prophecy that Jesus is making. It's understandable. There's no reason for people to pervert that and come up with false doctrines that confuse people and drive them away from Jesus Christ. Look at the Gospel of John. John chapter 8. We're going to get a little bit of help now. We got the picture, okay? I understand. The Bible says I can understand it. Fine, but there's some things I don't. What can I do about that? Let's go look in here. John chapter 8. Let's begin at verse number 41. Jesus is talking to those Pharisees and scribes and the priests that were always picking at him. And he said, you do the deeds of your father. And they said, well, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? It's because you cannot hear my word. Now, were they hearing the sound of His voice? Oh yeah, they heard every word He said. What do you mean you can't hear my word? You put a block up there. You're not letting it sink in to have a meaning and application in your life. Yeah. You don't want to hear it. That's enough, Al. I don't want to hear anymore. Right? That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. So one of the reasons then that people don't understand the book, maybe, let's be honest, let's be careful, let's be thoughtful about ourselves. Maybe one of the reasons that you don't understand some of the Bible that gives you trouble is because you really haven't wanted to. Badly enough. I pray that's not the case in this room, but you know, we're human beings and we're subject to the temptations of the flesh, and sometimes I just don't want to hear that my favorite sin is wrong. I want to hang on to what I like to do. And it takes some effort and some struggle. You know, Paul on one occasion says, I keep under my body. I struggle with my body. I buffet my body, as it were. Sometimes we've got to beat ourselves up a little bit. Hey, you up here, pay attention, you know. Get with the program. Back in the book. Sometimes it takes a little bit of strong talk to ourselves to get us focused on where we ought to be. And maybe some of that is why some of us don't understand some of the parts of the Bible. Let's go back to Matthew for just a moment. I want to look in chapter 17. This, I hope, is a great encouragement to you, what we're going to find in the 17th chapter of Matthew. I want to look in the 13th verse. We've just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus was up there. His appearance changed. There were Moses and Elijah standing with him. Peter said, "Oh, this is great. This is great. Let's build 3 tabernacles here. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Let's just stay here and enjoy this fellowship." You ever go to a place where a lectureship, a gospel meeting or something, you had brethren from all over. Oh, it's great to be together again. Time like today, maybe. People from several different churches. Good to see one another. We're going to sit down and have a meal. We got a feast on the Word of God, and we'll go, buffet the body, as it were.
Yes, sir.
And have fun. And sometimes, do we really want to go home? Let's just hang around a couple hours more. We're going to feel that way sometimes. Peter was that way up on that mountaintop. Jesus says, "Well, let's go on down. We got other work and things to do." We come down to, after all the explanation, discussion about John and Elijah, Jesus said, Matthew tells us, then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. Here's Moses, here's Elijah. I thought Elijah was going to come back. And, well, Elijah did come back. Who are you talking about? And they were confused about that. And Jesus was telling them that Elijah came already, verse 12. It wasn't until some further discussion, some further reading. If you don't understand what you're reading on page 5, go to page 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. Read a little further. Sometimes we need more information in order to understand something. Well, I do that. I've been trying to learn some new gimmicks on the computer and how to use more tools for preaching the gospel, and I read what the guy, I see what the guy does in the first place. I say, "Boy, that's great. I want to do that. How do you do that?" So he starts off telling me, and I'll read the first paragraph, and I'll say, "Huh?" And I'll read the second paragraph, and I say, "What are you talking about? I don't get it." And you have to read a little further. Sometimes you have to read 2 or 3 documents before you begin to, "Oh, you mean this?" And then I go way back over to paragraph 1. I put it all together, and it begins to make some sense. Oftentimes life is like that. Even reading the newspaper, like I said a while ago, sometimes the first paragraph tries to be explanatory, but you don't get the details until you're down a little bit further. So read a little bit further. Talk with Jesus a little bit more, as the apostles did. Listen to what he had to say. Go further through the scriptures, through the Word of God. And sometimes that will help. See the same thing over in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We'll just look at verse 16 to make the point. John 12, 16. "These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified," in the scripture that means he was raised from the dead, or when he was crucified and then after his raised from the dead. His glorification is his crucifixion in the scripture, but they understood it after the resurrection as they saw him again. "When Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him." Isn't that interesting? These Jews, from little children, had been taught the Word of God. They knew their history. They knew their doctrine. They knew their identity from children right on up. And now these few are traveling with Jesus. They're hearing some great teaching. They're seeing some marvelous works. They understand he's the Son of God. But somehow or other, they've just forgotten some of those things they knew from childhood, some of those scriptures. And not until after Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised again. "Oh, I remember that Old Testament passage that we learned as children. And yeah, and then, wow, that's what they did in his life. Well, now I see it's all coming together." And It was all there in the first place, right? They knew the Scriptures long before they knew Jesus. Why didn't they remember that and apply it to His life? I don't know, but you and I do the same thing. We're human beings. Don't you just wish that you could remember everything you used to know? Everything that you have read in the book. You read it and you read it and you read it and, well, sometimes it don't stick in there too good. But it's good to keep on reading anyway. But when He was glorified, then they understood what was written and what was done to Him. So they learn a little more and then let time pass by. They didn't learn any more while Jesus was in the tomb. The old Scriptures weren't added. I mean, nothing was added to the Old Testament, right? They already knew that. His life was over. They'd already experienced that. But some time passed. And then it began to come together to them. So give yourself some time. Read a little more. Give yourself some time. It will come together. God says you can understand the Scriptures.
Right.
You remember the occasion of Philip and the Ethiopian? You know where that's found, Acts chapter 8. Spirit said to Philip, go over to the road called road that goes to Gaza, down to that deserted road. So he went. He didn't know why he was going. He went, got there, and there's a guy riding along in a chariot. And Spirit says, go join yourself in that chariot. He gets over there, sees the guy reading a book. He notices that the guy's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And he's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And in verse number 30, Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand? Mom ever say that to you? Do you understand what I'm telling you? Daddy ever talk to you that way? Right? Teachers? Well, the question itself implies understanding is possible, right? And understanding is expected. It's possible to understand Isaiah 53. Do you get it? And doesn't the answer in verse 31 also imply the possibility of understanding? Well, how can I understand this unless somebody explains it to me? Helps me with this thing. So the guy realized, and he was aware of the fact that understanding was possible, but he didn't get it yet. I need some help. Go to somebody, get some help. So read some more, give it some time, and sometimes we just need to go talk to somebody else about it. Brother Ram, this passage of Scripture bothers me. I don't get it. Can you help me out here? What is he talking about? Somebody else, and you don't have to go to the preacher. Maybe a person sitting right next to you. Maybe a person on the other side of the bed might help you out, you know, when you wake up in the morning. What's this talking about? Somebody, in the next pew in front of you or behind you. We all have different views on the Scriptures. We've all got different experiences as we've read through them. And maybe what troubles you has become very clear to somebody else. So get some help. Ask somebody. Don't just give up. You can understand it. There's a way out there. God wants you to understand it, so do what's necessary.
Amen.
Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Book of Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. We look out the window and understand there's a God in heaven.
Amen.
Common sense will teach you that much. But you have to observe correctly. And you have to reason correctly. What is it that the sun always comes up in the east and sets in the west? There's order here. There's organization here. Things like that just don't happen by chance. Let's say there's a plate or a jar sitting over there, and I've got a handful of marbles. You know, there's 40 marbles in my hand, and I'm going to throw those marbles and make every one of them go in that jar. Are they going to go? Not on your life. I'd be lucky to get one in there, right? Where are they going? They're going to scatter everywhere. Random chance. That's the way things happen. But that's not random. There's order and there's system in the universe. There's planning and there is control behind all of that.
Sir.
How did it get there? Who put it there? There's a God somewhere that created all this and keeps it going. So we can understand the truth if we will observe the facts completely and reason upon them correctly. See what Paul wrote to our brothers and sisters in the city of Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Paul said, "By revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ." Wow! Now he didn't say you're going to understand everything I understand or know everything I know. But you're going to understand you're going to understand that I know it. You're going to understand the fact and how I got the knowledge. You're going to be able to understand what I explained to you from the knowledge of God. When you read it, you can understand it. So keep on reading. Chapter 4, same epistle. Verse number 18. You don't understand because you're ignorant, and you're ignorant because you're blind of heart. What did Paul write? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. What a horrible picture that is. They start off with a blind heart. That heart doesn't want to see anything. Not willing to look anywhere and see anything. And then, so they're ignorant as a result of that. Because they haven't looked. Because they're ignorant, they're alienated from the life of God. And because they're alienated from the life of God, their understanding is darkened. Another one of those passages in which Paul writes backwards. He does that several times. Why don't you understand? It started off with a blind heart. You just didn't want to understand. Let's not be that person, okay? Let's want to understand God. He gave us the book so that we could understand it. Understand His will for us. And He made us so that we could understand the book. Hebrews writer said, "The word of God is quick and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow." The word of God will get right down inside of you where you live if you let it.
Amen.
It's understandable. And that's the reason that some people don't read the Bible. They know what's going to happen. If they read the Bible, it's going to get too personal and they can't quite handle that. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, I read verse number 12. "But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." When people don't understand the truth, they oppose the truth. People out there in all those various religions of the world, they oppose you. "You're just strange. You're just different. You don't fit in. We got this ministerial alliance over here where all the Baptists and Methodists and Catholics and the Mormons and the Presbyterians and everybody else all getting up together. What's wrong with you crazy folks in Churches of Christ? You won't be one of us. You think only people in the Church of Christ are going to heaven. You don't recognize all the rest of us as Christians. There's something strange about you." Why do they say that? Because they're ignorant of the truth, so they oppose it. Well, we don't have to be ignorant of the truth. God gave us a book to show us the truth.
That's right.
We can know what He wants for us. We can know that His plan for us is that we're going to live on this world for a little while. And we're going to lay down in the dust. And the body's going to lay down in the dust. And I, who am inside of this body, I'm going to go on living with all of my memories, all of my knowledge, all of my personality. He's going to give me that empty mansion that we sang about a while ago. It's there waiting for me. Jesus went to prepare for it. But how am I going to get there? I got to hear the Word of God. I got to know who I am, where I came from, why I'm here, where I'm going. I got to know who God is. I got to know Jesus Christ is His Son. I got to believe that. John 8 and verse 24, "If you don't, except you believe that I am He, you're going to die in your sins." Then I got to turn away from my sin. I got to repent. That means change. Give it up. Make a change of heart. Change of practice. I don't want that anymore. I'm sorry I ever lived that way. I'm going to quit it. I'm going to get out of it. How can I get out of it? Ain't no place else to go but Jesus. I'm either in Jesus or I'm in sin. If I'm going to get out of sin, I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to repent toward Him. Luke chapter 13 verses 3 and 5. And then I've got to confess my faith in Jesus. When that Ethiopian riding along, he understood what Philip was saying from Isaiah 53. He said, well, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? You know what Philip said? I don't have any authority to baptize you until I know that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God didn't send me out to get folks wet. I'm not going to go down in that water and get myself all wet just to be doing it. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, man, I'll take you down there. You'll be born again of the water and the Spirit. It'll be a great day for both of us. And so he confessed his faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's why John wrote the Gospel, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. And having confessed faith then, they went down in the water and baptized him. Both Philip and Eunuch went down there, and he buried him in the water. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Galatians 3 and verse 27, that's how we get into Jesus Christ. Where all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places are, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, baptized into Jesus Christ. Let me close with this. Look, if you're still open in 2 Peter, look at chapter 3. You know verse 16, you've probably read this many times. In all his epistles, Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures to their own destruction. You know, people can take the scriptures and twist them all out of shape and wind up destroyed as a result. Why? Because they're unlearned and they're unstable people. Don't be that person, okay? Don't be ignorant. Get education from God. But look at this. Paul wrote some things hard to be understood. You know what Peter said? Paul wrote some things that are hard to understand. If Peter thought they're hard to understand, you and I can expect a little bit of trouble reading some of them. Okay? So be patient with yourself. But he didn't say impossible to be understood. Just hard. Sometimes the things that are hard are the things we enjoy the most when we've accomplished them, right? The hardest task brings the greatest joy and result. To admit that we can understand human speech. To admit that you can understand what I'm saying here today. You know, understand the ways of the world and how to get along in town. And yet to suggest you can't understand the Word of God? Well, that is to say that either God is incapable of communicating so as to be understood, or God is unwilling to communicate so as to be understood. Do you believe either one of those facts about God? Is God unwilling to communicate? Is God incapable of communicating? Neither. Therefore, God wrote words you can understand. Trust it. Believe it. We started off in Nehemiah chapter 8, and we saw in verse 12 that all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make mirth because they had understood the words that were declared to them. They were glorifying God and sharing with the world because they understood God's Word. If you understand God's Word, glorify God. If you don't, just read it some more. Give it some time. Increase your desire to understand it. And if you need it, get some help from somebody who can guide you into that understanding. If you understand and you haven't obeyed what God said, why don't you repent from that today? Why don't you come to God and say, I was foolish, I was ignorant, I was willfully ignorant, and I'm sorry, and I want to be better. I want to straighten up my life and follow your word and understand it more and more every day. Why don't you repent? Come to Jesus right now while we stand and sing.
Number 714.